better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I am JT, and I'm here with the best-dressed Joey.
Hey, guys. Good to be back with y'all.
Loving life. And this is a bit of a different one because we've had this question a couple of times. What are our favorite or top three podcasts which are not our podcast? Because we both listen to podcasts. We are connoisseurs of the medium.
Fucking heaps of them.
Love it, brah.
Heaps. I froth it. When I meet someone these days who listens to the radio, I'm like,
what?
Why?
What? Where are you from?
I don't get it. I mean, I get it.
They're going to be old.
Sometimes I'm surprised, like young people younger than me. And it's just like they just haven't, they've never gotten into podcasts.
They haven't transitioned, right?
And they're just in their groove and they put the fucking shit,
get in the car,
top 40 shit on every morning. And yeah.
Ah, no way.
So anyway, this is for you motherfuckers.
Shout out.
Because I know you're listening to this podcast.
damn.
Damn, we need to get on radio.
Preaching to the choir. Carl and Jackie O.
I fucking hate Carl.
But here's the deal. No, I think we do get inspiration because, Joe, you've been running a podcast longer than you started. When did the JB's podcast start?
The JB podcast started, I don't know, at the time I think there was about five podcasts in the whole world. We were number six.
Yeah, it was early.
It was early days.
Yeah.
It was basically Rogan and us. And
and Tim Ferriss came later.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We started it about 5 years ago. That was the podcast for our gym, Jungle Brothers, where we record from now, for those who don't know. And
you've had some great guests on JB's.
Yeah, we have. We've had some incredible guests.
Yeah.
It started as a very organic thing. It was the three of us, Paul T and myself, we're in the gym every week. Hey, let's get together and podcast each Friday.
Yes.
And over the years, the business has evolved.
Of course.
So the podcast kind of got left behind many times. Like when COVID came around, we're just like, no podcasting.
Sure.
So we've just gone years, periods where we didn't record an episode for 12 months.
Right.
So I think we're up to around almost episode 180 now.
Sure.
Which is hilarious because if you look at Bulletproof, we'll be at 180 in a few months.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like we're just going hard and that whole thing. But in any case, yeah, it's something that's been around with us for a long time. It's evolved a lot. I don't listen to it all that much.
No, well, I mean, I think when you record it, I do listen to it. I do like that. This isn't part of our top three. We're just talking about it to give context, guys, because I started listening to podcasts probably a couple of years back when my favorite people who I read books by were like, yo, I got a podcast. Or I followed them on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and they were like, oh, check out my podcast. I was like, oh, shit, what's this podcast thing?
Yeah.
And then you know, Spotify started to really pop off, and then – oh, podcasts on Spotify, nice. Or you can get them on Apple iTunes. Oh, man, sick. And I got such value out of it because I'm sitting in the car driving a bunch and that's where I would use it to learn. So I'm quite mercenary. Like I know some people just listen to music. I usually listen to music when I train. But when I'm in the car and I'm driving and I'm in traffic, I want to learn something. If I'm not learning, I want to be entertained or both. So my top three picks are reasonably mercenary in I want to learn. And that's kind of my general obsession is
right, chasing that knowledge.
Yeah, I want to learn. I want to cram as much knowledge in my brain as possible every single day so I can annoy Joey with new ideas.
I love that.
That's my hobby.
No shortage of ideas on this guy.
I always hit him. I know it's the most point of contention in our relationship. It's like, you know, when you got a partner and you know they have a pet peeve and sometimes you just want to annoy them. You just hit them with that thing. You know you did it right.
Yeah.
But you do just.
Yeah, it's a good thing when people get the shits with you.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's an indication that you're doing well.
Recreational. It's good times for my own entertainment. nothing better than make Joey grin.
Oh, my girlfriend's got the shits with me again. Nailed it.
Winning. Adult life. I pre-frame my top three podcasts with I listen to them to learn. So it's not like super good fun. A lot of people talk about like hardcore history and, you know, people listen to different things for different reasons. How about you? Like for you listening to podcasts, Joe, what do you like? What do you get from it?
So I go through seasons.
yep.
where I will listen to, like, I'll chop and change.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm sure you would do the same.
Yeah.
And, but I will also, like, on, say, the, I drive a lot too to the gym. It's usually like 35 to 50 minutes either way. And so I will listen to podcasts primarily in that time. But I do also hit points on any given day where I'm like, I don't want to listen to another motherfucker talking at me.
No.
Like say on this day when we podcast, I probably won't listen to a podcast this afternoon because I've spoken a lot today.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot.
It's too much.
Yeah. So then I'll just pump music, that sort of thing. And I'll usually feel that point coming and then I'll be like, all right, that's enough. Let's go to the beats.
Yep.
But so yeah, for the most part, I want to learn something, but in a similar way to that point I just made. Sometimes I'm like, I'm sick of someone giving me information.
Yes.
And sometimes I just want entertainment.
Of course.
So what's sick about podcasts is that you can go, oh, well, I'll jump onto this one where they're telling me a story.
Yeah.
And one of my recommendations today, or one of my picks rather, is very story-based. And I like that. And it's actually, it's nice to see the difference between the two. It's like reading
fiction versus nonfiction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sometimes there's I've gotten into a bit of sci-fi in recent years, and sometimes like reading a sci-fi book, you're like, well, I'm going on a journey right now.
That's fun.
Versus like, I'm learning how to manage my finances.
Yeah, of course. You know,
it's very different worlds.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm going to start with, I love storytelling. And the first podcast I mentioned, and these aren't ranked, but we'll just put them out there, is How I Built This with Guy Raz.
Heard a lot about this podcast.
Yeah, it's really well constructed. Guy Raz, he's a good, really good interviewer, and they construct the narrative. It's all about startups. I am a crack fiend for startup glory. I'm just like, you get that little crystal that is Airbnb, crush it down and, oh, success, yes.
IPO.
billions. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like I listen to that and I'm like, this means we can win because they were feckin' idiots. And I don't think we are idiots, but you might disagree. So my how I built this, he interviews so many people. And you like, what is so interesting is that the stories are never the same. You know, like Ben and Jerry's, those guys never intended to be like a multinational. Like they're hippies.
Right.
They're just, you know, they did so many things that were stupid and idiotic and not for profit, just for fun. That's why I started an ice cream company. They learned so much. And you can also see like the cautionary tales, because sometimes people had success and in the interview they break down a little bit, because Guy Raz does a sneaky thing. He's like, oh, and your wife, she passed away due to cancer. Talk to me about that.
Ooh.
And it's like, oh, stab in the heart. And people get pretty emotional, you know. It's pretty revealing. And so I like that kind of talk show, well-organized questioning. And that's cool. And it tells a great narrative, and I love that. So
he's a bit of a – so on that, I've never listened to it. Is it kind of quite an interview format? Like he's got some very well-structured questions and then he lets them do the talking.
Well, the narrative is constructed. Take us back to when it started and how do you get interested in that? And it really does paint the picture from inception through to like realization of success or whatever it was. And you do go on that journey and you're like, wow, I had no idea that's what it took.
And is it all around building businesses?
It's all around businesses – startups,
yeah,
and just things that you probably take for granted as brands, as the people who made it into a real thing that is now alive today. I love it. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who might have heard of it. Do yourself a favor, just jump in. Every time there's an episode, I listen.
Killer.
What you got?
So, yeah, same for me, unranked. And, I mean, look, these are kind of what come to mind right now. I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan podcast. I still listen to a lot of Rogan.
Cool.
When it comes down to it, I'll still, if he's got a guest on that I'm interested in, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
So he would always be in like my top 10, but
sure.
I don't think anyone needs to recommend the Rogan podcast to you.
No.
You know, like everyone knows about that thing. First pick off the ranks for me is Behind the Bastards.
Oh, yeah. You do talk about this a bit.
I've mentioned it a lot. Some of it kind of appeals to me. I like hearing stories about bad people. I like true crime.
Yep.
I like, you know, hearing about motherfuckers and in a way, I don't think it's great to indulge that side of the brain.
Too hard, yeah.
No, yeah, but what's cool about Behind the Bastards? I'll tell you what's cool and I'll tell you what's not cool about
yes.
it. So it's guy run by a guy, Robert Evans, who is a fucking hardcore brain and a geek. And he'll basically do a deep dive over one episode or maybe multiple into the biggest motherfuckers in history.
Wow.
So Scientology's in there. Jeff Bezos is in there. Wow. Hitler's in there.
Amazing.
The LAPD's in there.
Ooh.
You know, like anyone, he'll go back in history. He just did a three-part on Napoleon Bonaparte III. So not the Napoleon Bonaparte we all know, but the third who was like a cousin of his or something.
Okay.
Who was apparently a real motherfucker. And here's why. And I didn't listen to that because I'm like, I don't really care about that.
Sure.
But the ones like any of the Nazi Germany stuff, any of the Scientology stuff.
Yep.
You know, the Bezos episode. Like sure. You get a real insight. And what he does, he'd do like a deep dive. He'll read a few books
mm-hmm.
on the thing and then he will like tell the story.
Formulate.
He'll always have a guest on and the guest will be a friend of his.
Nice.
And they won't know who they're going to discuss. So he'll be like, hey, welcome to the show, whatever, you know, how you doing? And then he'll be like, hey, how do you feel about Nazis? And they'll be like, oh, shit. And he's like, today we're talking about, you know, like, and yeah. So, you know, he goes into that. I really like it. It's very educational. It's also very insightful because he does talk about some things in there, some people, some things that you might know for a good reason.
Yeah.
You know, you might know, I don't know, Sanitarium, sure. Right? They make like Weet-Bix and shit.
Oh, my goodness. I love Weet-Bix.
You'd be like, Sanitarium, right?
My childhood.
Yeah, I fucking ate some yesterday.
Amazing.
But then he'll be like, let me tell you about the story of the guy who started Sanitarium. And, I can't God. Remember that, but, you know, he was a eugenicist and he was a fucking child. Not necessarily that one.
No.
Just unlock shit that you're like, oh, my God. Like, who would have thought?
These
right?
Weet-Bix taste like genocide.
What I don't like about it is that he just goes a bit too hard on basically going off on a tangent with the guests.
Right.
And they just sometimes just babble on. I'm like, I'm not fucking here to hear the babble. Mm. I don't mind a little bit of that,
mm.
but I'm here to hear the story. I want the story.
But is that you also as a podcaster? Do you like, that's not tight enough? That's, come on.
No, because I can appreciate critical? I can appreciate tangents.
Okay.
But there's also a point where, like say if you listen to Rogan, it's all a tangent.
Yes.
It's just an evolution, right? It's going here. So I don't mind that at all, but I there's an expectation – when you go into Rogan, you know that's what it's conversation yeah. with someone. So yeah. you know there's no roadmap.
Goes anywhere.
Versus Behind the Bastards, you sold me on this motherfucker who started Sanitarium.
Yeah.
So then when his guest starts going on about some random shit for the 10th time, you're like,
come on.
Yeah, there's rain just, it in. There's a point, and we probably the same with us for the listeners. It's like there's an amount of that you're happy with and you like,
you can tolerate.
But there's a line that gets crossed.
I think what we do is we've benefited from those who came before us that we're like, we're not going to do a Rogan.
Yeah.
We're not going to hit you with 3 hours of ramble. And we've also based
well,
off
you fucking can't, unless it's a fresh guest every week.
Yeah, of right, course.
Who's got something to say.
That you can dig into. Yeah, and I think you have your taste in the same way you have your taste in shows, books, whatever, comedians, and there's certain formats you like and therefore you're going to stick to that. So if it's a half an hour format or a 60 minute format, you're like, okay, we're good here.
Yeah.
You know, so you know what you're signing up for in a way. Anything more to add on that?
No. Let's move on to your next pick.
I'm going to say The Knowledge Project by Shane Parrish, and it's produced by Farnham Street. And Farnham Street is a blog. Shane Parrish is an ex-special intelligence operator who's Canadian.
Did you share an episode from The Knowledge Project with me?
I may have, yeah.
They, sure he did. I'm trying to remember who
he
was with.
On, he does interviews.
It's quite softly spoken.
Very, actually, annoyingly softly spoken.
Oh, yeah, he did one on Putin, I think.
Yes.
And I remember I listened to that, yeah.
The thing is he's so smart because he's an interrogator.
Okay.
He's used to getting secrets out of terrorists.
Where is the microfilm?
You know, it's crazy. So he's really subtle. Like, you're like, whoa. He's just talking like real casual and soft and using his kind of weird Canadian accent, and then just be like, so do you feel like you broke the law when you made that business deal? And you're like, what? And then it kind of catches the – he doesn't – you know, he's not in there to stitch anyone up, but he has some very influential high-level friends in business, and he gets them in to really go deep on certain aspects of – how things work, learning, whatever. And I feel like that for me that used to be Tim Ferriss. And then Ferriss hit a point where he just really had an agenda. And he's like, right, this is my agenda. In the same way Rogan has an agenda. And he's like, right, I really want to drive – I want to talk about bashing the left and promoting the right. Like that's –
Do you think they have an agenda, or do you think that it just sort of –
It's their show.
Like, yeah, no, but not. But an agenda implies that it's like a premeditated, this yes. is what I'm going
to. Yeah, or they're smart.
I tend to think that it's more just like people just get in a groove where they can't help but lay their kind of things on top of whatever they're talking about.
Not at all.
Like Rogan, I was listening to him talk to a bee expert, and then he just starts talking about like, what's the bioavailability of that? Tell me about the bioavailability. And you're like, why are you talking to this bee expert about the protein content of the pollen? Like,
because that's what he knows.
So well, but that's what like I mean. Relevant. But it's all, yeah, but I don't know if that's an agenda or if it's just him getting stuck on a loop like we all could.
Yeah, maybe, but definitely no, no, no. These guys older. Are smart. These guys are smart. They got platforms. Like, I would have put Tim Ferriss in there, but then I'm like, nah. Ferriss is like, I'm investing millions into psilocybin. Let's get guests on who can talk about that because I'm going to improve my profit share when this becomes billions. He's not dumb. Guys know what's up. Get a guest on. Oh, what's that? You got a new book? Yeah, let's talk about that. Blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever. Stop having 15 sponsors. Like, Greg McKeown. Big fan of Greg McKeown. Love his book, right?
People are going to drag that shit up when we've got 15 sponsors on this show and we're selling you motherfuckers magic mushrooms. And we've got guests on who are talking about the benefits of hallucinogenics.
Joey will be taking the mushrooms.
You fucking idiot, JT. You never see this shit gets locked in a time capsule. Sorry. It's coming back up.
We're
on Rogan with the yacht and shit and Ferris. Hey, it's my boy Ferris. Check him out. Yeah, another shot.
No, man,
Jules is getting a fucking booty dance from fucking
whoever it is. Ariana Grande. No. He's getting embarrassed right now. Look, I think here's the thing. I did listen to a podcast and then they put in pre-roll, mid-roll. There was three mid-roll ads. Like, not mid-roll, but like
three
it's,
different ads.
It's a
segments.
20-minute show, and you've hit me with six ads. Yeah. This isn't commercial television. Fuck off.
Felt a bit aggressive.
I didn't like it. So let me talk about the Knowledge Project. The interesting thing about the Knowledge Project is Shane Parrish literally only promotes stuff that he uses or has invested in. So he's very upfront. He talks about, like, AeroPress. His best mate owns AeroPress.
Right.
He invested in the AeroPress. He uses his platform to promote the AeroPress. It's a good product, right?
I like it.
It makes sense. Rogan doesn't talk like that. Rogan's like, yo, this is fucking great. But by the way, I own 80% of the company, so get on it, you animals. He doesn't say that.
He doesn't know. He sold on it.
Yeah.
For the record.
So, yeah, but all I was going to say with that is essentially the Knowledge Project is a bunch of information which is very well broken down. It's very accessible, but it can be boring. That's all I'd say.
Okay. And so do you like on that, do you like kind of all of the episodes they do no. or are you like, no. I'll select
yeah.
based on the guest?
Yes, definitely.
Is it a guest or is it a focus or is a it a topic focus?
For me, it's got to be a topic.
Yeah, okay.
Because they go deep. They'll right. do an hour, they'll do an hour and a half on a particular topic. So it might be critical thinking. I'm like, yep, I want to know about that.
Okay.
They'll be like, oh, what, you know, what, let's talk about NFTs and how that affects the world. Okay, yeah. Interesting. All right. Go deep. Let me find out. But then they might talk about economy in Canada.
What's one of your favorite episodes from that podcast?
Interview with Toby Lutke. Toby, T-O-B-I, Tobias Lutke, L-U-T-K-E. And he's the founder of Shopify.
Okay. That's a goodie.
He's based in Montreal. Listen to anything by Toby Lutke. He's just one of the smartest humans alive.
Amazing.
Genius. And interview with Naval Ravikant.
Yes.
Anything with Naval.
He's a fascinating cat.
Real funny. Really interesting. All right. Throw to Joey.
All right. Second one for me is Real Dictators.
Oh, all right.
Now, this is a real entertainment podcast. Mm. It's highly polished. The narrator has a lovely English accent. Not one of the shit ones. It's one of the good ones. Shout out to our friends from the UK. How you doing?
Thanks, bruv. No, I mean.
No, really, really well put together. It's like watching a slick little documentary thing. I actually got onto it because I found a podcast. So very occasionally I will search in Spotify for a particular topic. So a topic that I've always loved is like drug trafficking.
Of course.
I've always loved Narcos.
Narcos. Yeah. And Joey's one of his favorite films of all time, Tony Montana.
Oh, of course, Scarface.
Scarface. Right? Yeah. It's funny. There's a pattern here.
There's totally a pattern. And so I think I was searching for like stuff on Narcos. And so I found this series called Real Narcos. And then I got through like a few. They do like multi-part series on different drug lords. And then I got – they're like, hey, check out our – if you like Dictators, check out our new show, Real Dictators. I'm like, I'm jumping across to that. And same thing. It was like they do one on Stalin. They got Mussolini. They got Pol Pot. Like really fucking cool. So I haven't listened to it for a while because I kind of smashed them all.
Mm.
There was a few Dictators there that I was less interested in.
Of course.
Again, guys, you can see that it appeals to my kind of enjoyment of hearing about nasty shit.
Joey's need to think about you just absolutely suppressing and dominating other humans.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but but it takes you on a journey. It's a great show. I really like it.
The depths of the human psyche.
Yeah.
It's dark.
It's totally an entertainment one. So it's like when I'm sick of learning, I'm like, take me over to Real Dictators.
Cool.
Hit me with some darkness. Trying to think of my favorite one. So I actually really like the Stalin episode.
Okay.
Or the Stalin series, yeah.
Do you think, and I was going to just interject when you said the nice English accent, do you feel that the speaker's accent or the way the show is narrated affects how much you like it? Because you're like, yeah, I could listen to this voice.
That's a good question.
Do you think people are hating us because we have Australian accents? Do you know what I mean? They're like, yeah. not the good Australian accents.
No, I tend to think if you like the person behind the voice, it's and okay. if you like, then you just, that neutralizes.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like if someone's a good talker and you like what they're expounding, and then you're like, ah, you don't even notice the voice.
You get okay with it.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
But there is definitely a quality. There's this upper level where you have someone that's a great talker, but also a great voice, like a voice for radio or a voice for storytelling, isn't yes. there?
Yeah, there definitely is.
Very much like our voices.
Definitely. I have a great face for podcasting. And I think that's practice too. You listen to people and you're like, there's certain intonations and rhythms. Like if you like rap music or you like singers or you like yeah. anything audio, there is cadence and there's rhythm to how things are communicated, which you can like.
Yeah, and when it's that storytelling piece, it's generally a slower cadence. There's dramatic pauses, you know. Yeah, like there's a manipulation of all of those characteristics whereby, like for us where it's a conversation, it's less of that. It's like it's more paced, it's more high energy, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, I was going to say that reminds me there's a new podcast which is probably I'll make a little recommendation here which you might like, which is called How to Rule the World or How to Take Over the World, which is kind of similar. They get into similar topics because this guy is the producer of the next show I'm going to mention. Right, so this next show, am I cool to kick to that?
Please, go there.
Okay, so I'm going to preframe this by going, these guys are douchebags. They're rich tech bros.
Okay, so I fucking hate them already.
I do, but the thing is that I don't listen to them because they're funny, even though they put stuff in a lighthearted way. They dig into topics really well. Like they came together accidentally and they have this show together and it works. And they just throw it at the wall. They're not prepared. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm better researched than they are about topics that they're trying to talk on.
Wow.
Believe. Like I'm just like, that's wrong. He didn't make money that way. He made it this way. And I'm like fuming in my car. And it's not because of the traffic. So anyway, it is My First Million. And this is with Sam Parr and Sean Puri. And these guys have both successfully sold businesses that were bought by HubSpot. HubSpot now owns their podcast, My First Million.
Okay.
And they just get together and they're like, yo, bro, have you seen like Zuck? He's doing MMA, dude. Team Zuck, man. Oh, ooh. My God. Ugh. Shut up, idiot. It's all staged. You don't know anything about fighting.
I can't wait to check that show out.
No, but the reason why I say this is they'll be like, oh, hey, have you seen this new thing about laundromat arbitrage? What? And then they break down the business model. You're like, holy shit, I didn't know that was possible. And then they interview really interesting people. They're like, oh, we've got the CEO of HubSpot here. You know, he's incredibly intelligent. Let him talk on subject matter. And you're like, whoa, these guys have insight. So even though on the surface you're like, oh, I don't know if I can deal with this. They'll talk about a topic. You're like, holy shit. They really – it's very educational in a subtle way. They're not organized. They just show up. It's like, hey, man, you got something to talk about? Yeah, I want to talk about this. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. And they riff on it and they go – super deep.
Do you reckon they're actually showing up unprepared or do you think there's been it's a bit of a shtick?
I think Sean, he's very prepared because he's just a homebody and he studies. And then I think Sam is just – he flukes it.
Okay.
He's just really good at freestyling. And he's actually incredibly intelligent even though he sounds like a total airhead.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've been crushing that podcast for the last month. Like I've listened to easily 100 episodes.
What's it called?
My First Million.
My First Million.
MFM.
See, I listen to My First Billion because I just – I feel it's important to aim higher in life, you know.
They actually have – they have a thing which is called the Billy of the Week. And there's a little sample which is like, a million's not cool. You know what's cool? A billion. And then they just – they break down, how did this person become a billionaire? Like, what's behind that?
Right.
And look, I'll be honest. I feel like sometimes they get some of the facts wrong. Like, they'll talk about Walt Disney. Or they'll talk about this. Or they'll talk about that. And I'm like –
oh, what? Walt Disney. You're going to check out the behind the buses on that, motherfucker.
I was going to say, how to rule – how to take over the world. They so their producer, Ben Levy, he has that podcast.
Right.
And the crazy thing is they have this really weird intersection where they know heaps of famous people, like whatever. Sam Parr lives around the corner from Tim Ferriss. So he talks about the first time he met Tim Ferriss. He was like high on like pethidine. He just had like a kidney stone removed. He's like, yo, Tim Ferriss, hey, bro, you got any like natural cures for biohacks for like kidney stones? Tim Ferriss is like, who the fuck are you? Like, I'm walking.
Let me tell you about psilocybin.
Yeah, I've got this really good company you want to invest in. It's just interesting because I am literally overcoming my need to want to punch both of them in the throat because their info's that good.
How interesting. Yeah.
They're not my guys.
I'll check it out. I'll give it a go.
Just look at it. Scroll back. Find an episode where you're like, so there's a really good interview with Dharmesh Shah. And Dharmesh is the CEO of HubSpot.
Okay.
He drops nonstop knowledge gems for an hour.
Okay.
So it's not really them, but their ability to generate these conversations is awesome.
Okay, sick. Third choice for me is Business Wars.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm up on this. I love this.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah.
It's, again, it's a highly produced, highly polished podcast. It's got this narrator who does all the voices of all the characters
in
it.
Film noir kind of. Is it not – I could be wrong, but is you know, he's like, it was on a cold morning in 1956.
Yeah, he has a bit of that. But he has a real, like, homegrown American accent.
It is.
Which
it's
does
kind of southern a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, they look at the greatest wars fought between different corporations.
Rivalries.
So they do, like, yeah, Sega versus Nintendo, which is a really – that was one of my
That's
favorites.
Great. Yep.
Like Harley Davidson versus Honda.
Yep.
They do fucking, yeah, you know, there's
Cadbury versus Hershey's.
Right on.
Yep.
Netflix versus Blockbuster.
Yep.
Right, which a lot of people don't realize Netflix started as like a mail order, like DVD service. So, yeah, really fascinating shit. Again, it's very business related. I have to preface that recommendation with interesting thing, right, with Business Wars and then Behind the Bastards. Behind the Bastards is very left-leaning. Like they're hardcore lefties, which I'm somewhere in the middle, so I can appreciate left and right.
Sure.
But there's also parts of each that I really dislike.
Sure.
When you listen to something like Business Wars, you're like, well, it's all about business. It's all about capitalism.
Yes.
Essentially, we're just diving into the right.
Of
right
course,
here,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
In that kind of sense. So there's a part of me that's always a bit grated by that, but I do also find it extremely fascinating that these big corporations like Adidas and fucking Nike –
yep.
Battle it out with each other, and they battle out in the marketplace, and it's played through stock prices and marketing and brands and drops and just all this shit that you're like, well, I'm kind of oblivious to all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I quite enjoy these tales.
One of my favorite business wars is like the WWE versus the whichever, well, it's the WWF, the other major wrestling federation in the 70s and 80s, and it talks about the rise of Vince McMahon and
– yeah.
You know, how wrestling – it's kind of historical in a way, and it runs across a couple of episodes. But you're like, whoa, these characters are crazy.
Yeah.
You're like, they did extreme stuff that didn't even make the papers or the public media. And you're like, whoa. I get sucked in on that. Like, I love a behind the scenes. Like, knowing something about having contextual understanding about a topic that no one else has. So when someone's like, oh, do you know anything about Cadbury and Hershey, I'm like, well, do I?
Let me tell you some stories.
Let me break this down for you. And it's so interesting because we just take for granted that the world just spins, but there's all this conflict and it's really real, and it decides the fate of what we do in our day-to-day lives. You're just not aware.
Yeah, and they're brands that, you take for granted.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh, I love that brand. And you're like, whoa, they went to war with this other brand that, oh, shit, I want to, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do realize they have this whole, like, fucking existence of their own. Yeah. That sometimes is extremely turbulent.
Oh, man, for years. And I...
We're gonna, one day there'll be a Bulletproof for BJJ versus Yoga for BJJ on Business Wars.
I
can feel it.
No, I love Sebastian Brosch, man. I'll be honest. I love it. I mean,
no, so do I. We're not actually at war with them at all. But
Sebastian's awesome. It's respect.
It's an aspiration for both of our organizations.
It would be great to be on that level. Whenever I listen to
maybe it'd be Bulletproof for BJJ versus all of the shit jiu-jitsu strength influencers.
Sure.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Take your pick. I mean,
if they could be organized enough to, you know.
Get
an army together. If they're not too busy doing, like, you know, fitness flows with a kettlebell. No, man, I think it's one of those things. It won't matter. I ultimately, because I love podcasts, I want us to have a great podcast. So I'm regularly listening to all different kinds of podcasts and seeing if I can learn something from it so that when we come here and we have a chat, we can deliver better.
Yeah.
And, you know, we ramble, we do whatever, but I always try and make sure that someone can get at least one takeaway from whatever the bloody hell we're talking about.
That's the goal. Goal is to give some kind of value.
Yes, sir.
We got a voicemail today.
Please.
We're coming to that point, aren't we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Voicemail, here, where are we? This has come through from your boy, Jack.
Hey fellas, my name is Jack, big fan of the podcast. Just over a year into my jiu-jitsu journey, I'm just starting to get back into lifting again after being on and off for the past 5 years, and that's been mainly based on your guys' recommendations, so thank you for that. I've always been a free weights over machine type of guy at the gym, but yesterday I was using the leg press. I found myself thinking that this felt like a pretty good way to target the muscles directly, say my quads and hamstrings, without the additional strain that sometimes a barbell can have during a squat. So I was wondering whether you guys can make a case for the use of machines in the gym. I think ultimately you guys are going to favor free weights, barbells and whatnot, but I'm wondering whether you can give any merit at all to the use of machines in the gym. Thanks, guys.
That's a fucking cracker.
That's a great question. Thank you, Jack. Thanks for tuning in. I think there's two ways to go on this. In my opinion, because you see, for example, there's a great guy on Instagram called Atlas Shrugged.
I like his shit.
Yeah, he's cool. It's got him doing.
Isn't it Atlas Power Shrugged?
Power Shrugged. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. He's doing he's lying on his back. He's works out in the car park.
Yeah.
And he's doing like a leg press with a barbell on his feet,
balancing it on the bottom of the
feet. Yeah. And that's fucking risky and crazy, right? And it's advanced. That's his version of a leg press. And people go, yo, that's so jiu-jitsu centric. And I remember when I first met Corbrinha, he was doing open guard, spider guard drills with a 60-kilo barbell.
Right.
Like bending one leg, straightening the other leg. I was like, whoa, that's hectic, right? This is, in my opinion, and this is no shade on our man Atlas Power Shrugged. He's not a jiu-jitsu guy. He's just a strong motherfucker. He's just doing something because he likes to mess around and be playful, which is cool. But I feel we talked about this before where jiu-jitsu specificity goes too far. You know, like someone's like, yeah, but I do this on the mat, so I'm just doing this with a cable. And
yeah,
you're like, nah, yeah, maybe you're just making shit up, which is fine, but go fuck yourself. And then on the other end, you've got people who are like
– respectfully.
No, not respectfully. I have no respect. If I say no respect, I mean what I said. Come see me. Other people on the other end are like, yo, but I do a leg press and I put my foot position just like a wood spider guard. Maybe what I look at the value in machines is, and I was having this conversation with somebody I know quite well who likes to borrow from us, that it is worthwhile that if you're injured or you can't do full multi-joint exercises, doing a bit of isolation work is valuable. Because if that's all you can do, then do it. You know, like if your ankle's bad,
it's keeping you strong.
Yeah, do a leg extension, do a hamstring curl, or do something which is less demanding, which still keeps your muscles going. Like, don't find an excuse not to train. But what I say is this, the interesting thing is coming from someone way smarter than me, shout out Louis Simmons, RIP, Westside Barbell. He said that, you know, your major lifts still need to be your major lifts. Now, obviously he's coming from powerlifting, but I feel like what we've come to understand from doing jiu-jitsu, there are certain moves that translate really well, but then there's also room for accessories. And depending on what you have available to you, a lot of our people don't have access to heaps of equipment necessarily. So we've put in a lot of effort to make sure you're not exercise machine dependent. But if you have the luxury of something like a GHD or a, maybe it's a leg press or maybe it's whatever, then that's beneficial, right? So I think to clarify all of that, you can go too simple with isolation movements and you can go too far by trying to do something that's crazy specific. But if we come back to the middle, if you have the luxury of some equipment and you've got the time and the energy, doing a bit of isolation work or machine-specific work can be helpful. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I kind of share that. The leg press is one that I've – so it's not something I've ever used a lot of, and I'm sure you're kind of the same.
I used to use it a lot in the early bodybuilding days.
Okay, back in the day.
It was a bit of a dick swing, like how much can you leg press?
Yeah, but for a lot of strength coaches that I know, I've heard them say things like, if there was only one machine I was going to have, yep, it would be the leg press.
Right.
Right? So they're like, yeah, heavy barbell work and bodyweight stuff and whatever, and then leg press. And so – in that regard, I think there's a lot of benefit to it purely as like just a way to load the legs and build that knee extension and also a bit of hip extension.
Yep.
I second that kind of to your point where it's like, yeah, your primary lifts should be free weight focused because that has the most amount of benefit, and then use something like a leg press as an accessory. So to Jack's point, can there be benefit to it? Like, could that be incorporated? 100%. I think it's great. For me personally, like I wouldn't bother with it because we don't have one in the gym. So it's not something I'd seek out. But if I was doing a leg session and, you know, I was at the gym at some Globo place and then, oh fuck, there's a leg stand. I've already done my squats and some deadlifts. Fuck, let's finish on that.
Yeah.
Right? Why not? Particularly too, if you are trying to rebuild after an injury, something like that could be great. If you really have shit mobility and you're working on it, but you're still not able to put a barbell on your back and squat with it, or, you know, like get into a comfortable loaded squat position, it's going to be a great opportunity for that. Or if you're strictly trying to build muscle mass,
yeah,
it's going to be probably one of the faster ways to get there. Great. So definite benefit.
Great quad builder for sure.
Yeah. Guys, Jack, thank you for the voicemail. Listeners, if you want to leave us a voicemail, go to our website, just click on the podcast tab and you can record a voicemail there. We'll play it on the show and even answer it for you. And hey, if you want help with your training, bulletproof@bjj.com, free trial, use the code BJJPodcast. Get hench, get mobile. See you on the mats.